story this morning. King David's an old man. He's nearing 70 years old. He was 30 years old when he became king, and he was king for 40 years. And so he is getting up there. And God chose David's son Solomon to be the next king over Israel. But one of David's other sons, his name is Adonijah, he decided that he would take matters into his own hands. And so we have the, that's fun. Okay, so, all right, well, let me just find these verses and read them then. All right, so 1 Kings chapter number 5. 1 Kings is where we're at. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 Kings chapter number 1. And looking at verse 5, here is what the Bible tells us as soon as I find it. All right. 1 Kings, one more page. 1 Kings 1, verse 5 says, "Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, 'I will be king.' And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him." So what did Adonijah do? He said, "All right, hey, listen, Pops is getting old. Somebody new has to step in and become the king." What did Adonijah do? He just kind of took matters into his own hands, right? He said, "I will exalt myself. I'll be the next king. I'm going to step up and I'm going to do it." So he declared to everybody that he was the king. So he prepared a small army to go before him as kind of a show of force and authority. And he formed this coalition of people that would stand with him, including some of Israel's military, or including Israel's military leader under David. His name is Joab, and he had a priest named Abiathar. So, and if you thought I had a fun name, there you go. There's some other ones. So he invited everyone that he could think of to a big feast that would be held at a place called En-Rogel, down there in the bottom of the map there on the south end of Jerusalem. And so he had this feast. He was gathering this army, having all sorts of people join his side, his team, and saying, "All right, we're gonna be with Adonijah, and he's gonna be our next king." Well, the prophet Nathan and Bathsheba, who is Solomon's mother, told David what Adonijah was doing. So they got together and they circled back to King David and said, "Listen, this is what Adonijah's got going on." And so King David gave the instructions here in 1 Kings 1, chapter 1, verse 32. He says, "King David said, 'Call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada.' And they came before the king. The king also said unto them, 'Take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow ye with the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, and for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah." So you remember where Adonijah is, and where he's having his feast is down here. And so he says, go out, take Solomon over to Gihon here, and you're to anoint him the king of Israel, because he's going to be the king. He's going to be the next king. When that took place, when they did that, all of the people cheered and rejoiced. And so as they rejoiced, here it is, verse number 40. "All the people came up after him, and all the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them." How many of you felt the earthquake yesterday? You felt it? Well, how many of you felt the one early this morning? Yeah. Oh yeah. Actually, it was a smaller one. There was one. There was another. It was a 5.0 this morning. I just happened to be awake, staring at the ceiling, and it was like the whole cabin was like, ha ha ha. Just kidding. And I was like, okay. And I was like, wow. You know, he said that the Bible tells us that there was such loud rejoicing because all of the people were rejoicing together that the earth shook from the sound of everything. And so they had, I'm going the wrong way here. Come on. Go the right way. Go backwards. There we go. So from the top of the screen all the way down to the bottom of the screen, listen to what the Bible says in verse 41. And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it as they made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar? They heard the rejoicing all the way down where they were having their big party. And so they said, what in the world is going on? So Adonijah's party was over. Verse 49 says, and all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid, and they rose up and went every man his way. In other words, y'all dismissed. He gone. They're out of here. And so Adonijah's party was over. So Adonijah went to Solomon, and he repented of exalting himself as the king. Now, in 1 Chronicles, I'm going to kind of switch gears here and move over to 1 Chronicles, because there are some of these details in 1 Chronicles. And looking at chapter 28, the Bible tells us that in verses 9 and 10... He says, this is David speaking to Solomon. Thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Now this is David's instruction to his son Solomon. You think David learned a thing or two about what God is looking for in the heart of a person over the course of his lifetime? I think he did. Yeah, absolutely. So here he is instructing his son, look, God is not concerned about what's in the outs. He's not concerned about how you look. He's not concerned about if you're handsome or not. He is concerned about your heart. And the same is true for me and you today, right now, sitting in this room. God is concerned about our heart condition, the condition of our heart. And listen to what he says. He says that God is searching, serve God with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Does the word perfect mean without error, without sin? No, it doesn't. It means mature, fully mature. So he says, serve God with a mature heart. A mature heart in financial terms, maturity means full potential. We have a bond that you purchase, and that bond matures over the years until a certain date. At that certain date, that bond is considered to be mature. It is full. There is no more potential in it left untapped. It is absolutely fully mature. And that's what God is looking for in us as humans. In order to be used by God, we need to be using the potential that God has given to us. And that's what our heart should be. And that's what we should be doing. So he says you got to serve God with, first of all, a perfect heart, and then with a willing mind. You remember those eggs that we were talking about the other day? When we had the empty egg, and then we had the hard-boiled egg. He says, you can have some potential, but not be willing to do it. That's kind of the hard-boiled egg, where you've already decided how God's going to use you. You've already decided what you will or will not do, what you are willing to do or not. But David tells Solomon, his son, you need to serve God and have a willing mind. Don't dictate to God how he will or will not use you. Simply do whatever God asks you to do. Okay, there it is. Thought I lost it there for a minute. All right. Verse 26. Here it's still in 1 Chronicles. Well, actually looking at chapter 29, verse 26. The Bible says, thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. He died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. So David died, and Solomon took his place as the king of Israel. And Solomon began doing something. He began carrying out something that David longed to do. Solomon began building that temple that David, his father, had talked about so often. In fact, the Bible tells us that David had begun gathering materials for the building of the temple. So Solomon had massive trees brought down from Tyre up on the northern part of the kingdom there. And what they would do is they would cut down the trees and they would ship them over the water down to Joppa, and then from there they carried them into Jerusalem. It was kind of an incredible scene that they would do, that they would gather all of these huge cedar trees. And he had bricks hewn in the mountains so that the noise of the labor would not fill the building site of the temple. And so the innermost part of the temple that they had there, all of the bricks, all of the cutting on all of the hewing of the stones, that was all done far away outside the city, way away from the building of the temple. And so the Bible tells us that the innermost part of the temple was completely coated in gold. It was completely gold plated. Now that's got to be, that would have to have been some kind of sight. How many of you like gold? You like gold? How many of you are more silver? More of a silver? I must admit, I'm a bit more of a silver person myself. But either way, the entire inside of a building completely gold plated. It's just amazing. I mean, like, if in this room everything that's wood right here that we could see had gold plating on it, we would want to spend more time in here, right, wouldn't we? I mean, this is just an amazing thing. The things that took place, the things that were done in this temple just to honor God. The altar was built, and the holy things were brought in by the Levites, because they were the ones that had to bring all of these things in, the special things, the altar, the laver, and they brought all of these things into the temple. And so, which included the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was brought in, and then it catches up to us up to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And listen to this. This is kind of the opening ceremony here for the new temple. Bible says, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of a bunch of names I can't pronounce, you know, Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Then when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even with the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. What happened at the dedication service of the temple? God showed up. God filled it up to the extent that they couldn't even stand to be in there anymore. God filled that place. Wow. You don't see a dedication service like that too much. That was some kind of sight to behold. The celebration was absolutely tremendous. All the people rejoicing, all of the people celebrating. And God spoke to Solomon, because Solomon prays a dedication prayer that you can read in 2 Chronicles there, chapter 6 and chapter 7. And Solomon prays this dedication prayer over the temple. One of the things that Solomon asks for is that God would bless the temple and God would bless his people as they use this new place. So listen to 2 Chronicles 7, starting in verse number 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came unto Solomon's heart, into Solomon's heart, to make the house of the Lord and his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. In other words, if these bad things happen as a result of chastening, if my people, verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So as Solomon was praying this prayer, he prayed that God would just bless his people. And God promised him, God showed him in a dream, as long as my people are doing what is right, they will be blessed. As long as they're doing right, there's a blessing. Young people, can I tell you something? There's always a blessing in doing what's right. God's plan always works. There's a blessing in doing what's right. But there is also chastening when you don't do what's right. God also promised in verse number 19, he says, but if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. Wow. You know something, young people? If we continue to do what's right and follow him, we would have blessing in our life. But it's also true that if we ignore God, if we do our own thing and go our own way, there are consequences. You cannot be a Christian having surrendered your life to God and then go do your own thing, go your own way, without there being some consequences. God will get you back to him. He will send some things in your life to remind you, I'm still here. I still love you. I want you to come back to me. And so the same thing that is true for David, the same thing that is true for Solomon, is still the same God that we serve today. And the same thing is true for me and for you. We must determine to continue serving God. Continue doing what it is that God asks to us to do. Surrender to him. Serve him with all of our heart. Serve him with a willing mind and heart. So let's determine to do that today. We can have the love of God in our heart, in our life, and know it for all of our days. Lord, we thank you so much for your word and for the promises of your word. Father, I pray that you would help us. Help us, Lord, this morning to understand the importance of the things that you've set before us for today. And Father, I pray that you would help us to come to you with willing minds, with willing hearts, that we'd surrender to you, that we would serve you with everything that we have, everything that we are, that no matter what sin is in our life, that you'd help us to rid our life of it, and that we would honor you with our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.